What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. We're back. We're back with some Simply Sessions. My friend Nico is rejoining me after, you know, a little time apart. You know, distance sometimes makes the heart grow fonder. So I'm glad to have him back. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. The Restrict Act looks terrifying as hell, so we'll touch on that. Lots of, you know, regulators going to regulate kind of stuff, but also pushback against CBDCs. So we'll be touching on a little bit of everything. As always, this is live. Anything can happen. So I defer to my friend Bill here.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
If you have not already, like, subscribe, share, all those things really do help a ton getting more eyeballs on this content. I am Ben with the BTC Sessions. This is your daily session.
Hodl the Bitcoin.
Before we dive in, let's take a look at where we are in the market right now. This is timechaincalendar.com. We're sitting at $28,108 per coin. A single US dollar will pick you up 3,558 sats. 92.06% of all Bitcoin have been mined. That's 19.33 million of them. In terms of fees, next block, you're looking at 27 sats per byte. Even if you're willing to wait a little bit, 15 sats per byte or so should do you. Mempool, not as backed up as it was earlier in the week and late last week. We got up to 1 gig sitting in the mempool. That's crazy. It's back down to 529, still more than the default on most people's nodes. So you may see some transactions purged there if you set a low sats per byte. But nonetheless, things chugging away. TikTok next block. Shout out to sponsors of the show, hodl.com. If you are stacking sats and you have a few priorities in mind, peer-to-peer trading, instant self-custody, no KYC, hodl, place to be. You can head over there, sign up with nothing more than an email address, be trading peer-to-peer, stacking non-KYC sats in no time at all. They also have a peer-to-peer lending platform in which nothing is ever rehypothecated, so you can check out that as well. And have you seen this new dashboard? It's pretty slick. Happens, everything is so quick. You can set up an order in like 20 seconds or 30 seconds. It's crazy. So check it out. Anyways, up next, CoinKite.com. Love these guys. If you're looking to secure those said non-KYC sats, get it on a cold card Mark IV. This thing is a beast. I've done a hell of a long, lengthy, descriptive video of it, teaching you how to use not just the basics, but all the advanced stuff. And on top of that, I'm going to be doing a workshop in Miami for that. If you're curious about that, stick around to the end of the video or go to bdcsessions.ca. Nonetheless, CoinKite, they've got tons of stuff, tap signer, sats card, block clock, all kinds of great swag over there. And coming down the pipe soon, the cold card Q1, you can reserve that now. I already have. So check them out. CoinKite.com, use code BTC Sessions for 5% off everything in the store. Now, if you want to go beyond single sig and dive into multi sig, Nunchuck has an absolutely badass assisted multi sig setup with built in inheritance planning. It's super easy to onboard. It walks you through every step of the way, everything you need to do. And it's simple, easy to maintain. And you have that peace of mind that your next of kin will be receiving the sats they are entitled to. Works beautifully with the tap sign or the cold card and a ton of other options. It's all on mobile. And yeah, I love the thing. Also, you know, this is important, non-KYC. You don't need any personal information to be using this. So yeah, check them out, nunchuck.io. And finally, to wrap this out, We got to give a shout out to our friends over at Start9 Sovereign Computing Solution. I've done a full video on how to use your Start9 Embassy, but you can run your whole Bitcoin stack, Bitcoin Core, Lightning, mempool.space, Join Market, all kinds of great stuff. You can host your data, passwords, files, photos, all that. You can run Nostr relays, Nostr clients, all of it. You can host your life here. Check out start9.com for something lower key. You can get the Embassy One, or if you're looking something super beefy to host your whole life on, the Embassy Pro cannot steer you wrong. And before we bring in Nico, let's do a couple shout outs on fountain.fm. The boostograms there, a few things, from, you know, reading back a little bit, but Michael, we got some hearts from you, 500 sats. Thanks, buddy. Coach Carbon, LOL. When you hear Ben shout out, you shout you out and you think, hey, I know that name. Hashtag value for value. Owen says, always enjoy the news roundups. The only podcast I listen to where the term tip touching is used. Candidate Block says, quick tip for touching tips. Man, people are loving the tip touching. It's happening. Nolan Bowerly is one of a kind. Very interesting from Hansa. Mab says, I've got a name for the trophies at the Bitcoin Movie Awards. The Biddies. Love the Biddies. Second Breakfast says, fiat has made the unproductive class the richest in our society. The people who are able to produce and build things we cannot live without should be the ones compensated the most for their hard work. I think Ron Swanson puts it best. The three most useless jobs are, in order, lawyer, congressman, and doctor. Weekly Hoddle says, abs, always be stacking and memeing. And Mo BTC Dick, my favorite name, have heard 23% of the hash rate is now hydroelectrically produced. Does this mean Canadian miners are putting in serious work? Canadian and elsewhere, I'm sure. Anyways, thank you guys all for the boostergrams. Much appreciated. But from now, we're going to bring in our good buddy. Hey, man, I missed you. It's been far too long.
It's been too long, man. I've had Ben withdrawals. I wake up in the middle of the night. I miss you. But I remember I could just always watch you on YouTube. So I just turn on a tutorial video. I'm like, all right, he's back.
We're here. I'm in your living room. let's redecorate here. Bam. Boom. Beautiful. Well, I'm glad to have you, man. There's been a lot going on. We were away last week, but, yeah, man, it's been wild. So, I mean, what's been top of mind for you? What's been going on?
Yeah, man, so many news. So many things have happened, and we also have to catch up a little bit on, on what's been going on, right? So,
what do you want me to pull up first?
You know what? Before we get into the news stuff, I think this was breaking. I think finally, Ben. You know, we're on an echo chamber. Okay. Bitcoin content that we have, content creators have to understand what you say is within an echo chamber. But I believe that finally that echo chamber is starting to break. And who do we have to thank for that? We have Max Kaiser to thank for that. Right. So, anyways, if you can play the.
Yeah. I got him right here. All right. Here we go.
Actually, it's really simple. And, you know, a lot of people are wondering what to do. And it's like, have a family. Get out of the cities and make money.
Get the chickens.
Yeah, man. Be more self-sufficient. Allocate your money properly. I can hear Max Kaiser screaming, buy Bitcoin.
Move to El Salvador.
I don't know about moving to El Salvador.
That's what Max wants.
Me personally, though, I think crypto is another venue. If everybody listening to this show 12 years ago bought Bitcoin, the culture war would be over. Because you would have millions of Bitcoin millionaires controlling industry and snapping their fingers and just doing whatever they want.
I think a lot of it is an example of how little faith people have in the US dollar. That's why crypto is doing so well.
The hold is like you're supposed to periodically, or this is what they say, every week or so often you put money into Bitcoin, like you put a small percentage in, because it's where you save a store of value. And then, like with any investment, you take only a little bit out. So you're putting more in than you're taking out, but it's because the value is increasing.
Okay.
So this is the theory. I'm not telling anybody to do anything. I don't give financial advice. But I'll say this. I invested in Bitcoin several years ago, and you know, it's like 20 times up.
I'll say Max Keiser and Stacey Herbert, who are in El Salvador, which has adopted Bitcoin as its national currency, are like partying. Like it is like 1999 Prince style. Like they are, it is like they are on top of the world with joy every day. They live in joy.
Well, El Salvador's crime rate has collapsed. Yes. The standard of living has skyrocketed. What the president has done down there with Bitcoin has revolutionized this country for the better. And now people want to live there because I think they're saying now it has the lowest crime in Central America. It used to have some of the highest crime. And then the media got mad. They started arresting all of these cartel and gang members. I'm like, dude, he is revolutionizing that country for the better. And I'm like, you know, Luke is telling me to get property down there to create like a hub so we can go down periodically. And I'm like,
does Luke have property there?
And not a bad idea.
You know, the-
it's getting expensive, though, because
now everybody's.
It's getting nice.
The words El Salvador translates to the savior.
Wow.
El Salvador.
Is that really what that means?
Yeah, the savior.
Whoa. I think we got to set up like a Timcast
down there. The savior, yeah, either.
Get like an office down there and set up a studio so that we can periodically go down and do shows.
It'd be cool.
Yeah.
Dude.
That's cool to see because I do watch some Tim Pool. I think I watched him for Doom porn over the past couple of years. I was like all into it. He's like, society's collapsing, and like, yeah, that was my non-Bitcoin Doom porn that I would watch. But I love seeing him like kind of gradually clue into it. Obviously, he uses the term crypto. He's not like fully there yet, but like he's on his way, and like, you know, having heard about it from Max, he'll at least be probably funneled to the right types of content, and you know, should he dive in more. But yeah, no, it's nice to see.
And it's not only Tim, right? It's so we have Tucker kind of going through the orange pill, and then we have we had Tucker going through the orange pill, and we have Jordan Peterson going through the orange pill. And the reason that's important is because we have to understand we're all in an echo chamber right now. Mm-hmm. And these are people that are very popular with the mainstream, and they're starting to catch, you know, you could feel the orange pill happening ever so slowly, mm-hmm. you know, and he's going through the motions, right? And I think that this, you know, he retweeted the video and he said, Max in 2012, Tim, I'm telling you, buy Bitcoin. Listen to us. You'll be rich. Me in 2012. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe me in 2023. Damn it. Right. We've heard that story millions and millions and millions of times.
Yeah. You know what I can't wait for is when, and I mean, it's again, in the echo chamber, the goal of getting a whole coin, you know, that gets thrown around a lot. But what I can't wait is, until you hear again somebody like very prominent, some you know, whoever, be like, you know some like affluent person be like, yeah, I've got a whole coin, and that to be like, whoa, mm-hmm. like I that's the moment where I'll be like, yeah, people get it, and
we
and
made
like,
it.
And also, you know, when it goes past that and it's like, oh, I've got a million sats. And that's like, that's the pleb entry level. Like, you know, it's not just, you can just pick it up easily, but it's like you worked towards that. And that's the new, you know, I feel like those two things will happen very close to each other. Some majorly affluent rich person, you know, it being excited that they have a whole coin. And then the goal is, you know, hit a million sats. You can do this. Keep your head down, work, build, and you'll get a million sats one day. I think that's what we'll be seeing in the coming years.
100%. I 100% agree with you. And I think it's hard for people to realize that, but this tweet, you know, is a perfect indication of what happens over time with Bitcoin. Number go up and it goes up and to the right over time, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Anyways, big news last week, Ben. So we've been covering Operation Choke Point 2.0 and Simply Sessions for a long time now. And the thing about Operation Choke Point 2.0 is that was kind of happening in the shadows, right? Like they never explicitly went out in public and said, hey, I don't like, you know, we don't like Bitcoin. Well, that was until the, you know, the economic report by the White House. In that report, 20 pages were dedicated to bashing Bitcoin, making the case as to why you need a state for money, and also making the case for central bank digital currencies and why central banking is good. The excuse that they use was 1907. In 1907, there was a panic, right? And they said, because of that panic, right, we need central bank. However, what happened in 1933? The worst depression, basically, the world has ever seen. That happened after the implementation of a central bank in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I think they lied. You know, that's my take.
Plenty of crises since the central bank began.
Correct. Right. So, I think it has to do more so with control. I'm going to read you a passage. It says, it has been argued that crypto assets may provide other benefits, such as improving payment systems, increasing financial inclusion, and creating mechanisms for the distribution of intellectual property and financial value that bypass intermediaries that extract value from both the provider and recipient. Looking under the hood at these arguments, however, shows a more complicated picture. So far, crypto assets have brought none of these benefits. And that's BS. And the reason that's BS is because what if you're in Argentine? What if you're in Venezuela, right? What if you happen to live in a country that the US has sanctions against, right? Bitcoin is for you. More so on you know, a little bit of good news, right? So while the federal government is kind of scheming, right, the individual states are actually fighting back, right? So we had Senator Ted Cruz introduces legislation to prohibit the Fed from establishing a central bank digital currency. South Dakota, the governor, Kristi Noem, she vetoed a bill that would basically change the definition of money. Mm-hmm. And it would change the definition of money, basically allowing for central bank digital currencies, but not allowing for digital assets. And what they used is this. They use the Uniform Commercial Code. And what's interesting is that in the White House Economic Report, you know what they mentioned, Ben? The Uniform Commercial Code. They said, if money isn't in the Uniform Commercial Code, it ain't money, right? So I don't think it's a coincidence that they're using the same thing. And then the big news, and I actually want to play a clip, is Florida Governor DeSantis also introduces state legislation banning central bank digital currencies. If you could play the
let's do it. I love this clip. It's great.
As there's a concerted effort across America to backdoor provisions for the use of central bank digital currency through individual state uniform commercial codes, UCC. Uniform commercial codes intended to provide for standard governing laws for commercial transactions across state lines and is set by an independent commission of, quote, experts to seek uniformity in state laws. Now, while legislation to apply recent recommended changes to the UCC has been introduced in about 20 states, no bill has been introduced in the Florida legislature, and if they were to pass a bill, I would veto that bill. However, given the risks associated with a federally sanctioned centralized bank of digital currency, today I'm here to call on the legislature to pass legislation to expressly forbid the use of CBDC as money within Florida's Uniform Commercial Code. This will ensure that Florida continues to be a state that supports innovation in the financial sector through the market, while protecting against government surveillance over your personal finances. But our legislation shouldn't stop there. Given the continued increase in Chinese influence in worldwide affairs and increase in plans to adopt CBDC worldwide, our legislation also prohibits any CBDC issued by a foreign reserve or government-sanctioned central bank.
Ooh, spicy.
Spicy, brother.
I like how the podium says Big Brother's digital dollar. Like, it's framed perfectly. It's exactly what it is. But I'm glad that narrative, that the, you know, calling it for what it is, it has reached enough people in high places that understand that this is how inevitably it will be used, which is fantastic.
100%. And, you know, we're seeing the separation of money and state play out. You're seeing the top heavy federal government saying, heck no. And then the game theory is playing in. Individual states are saying, you know what? This thing ain't so bad. I don't know what you guys are really talking about. But, you know, the forces of darkness are converging. We're seeing it. And I think that the fight is coming out of the shadows and it's starting to get more into the forefront. In 5 years, bro, like, I feel like this is going to be a predominant election issue all around the world. Right. Yeah. I think that it's not red or blue. It's not right or left. It's orange, green. Right. Yeah. And I think that that is going to be more and more obvious as time progresses.
I love that. Orange versus green. Oh, man. Imagine being on the green side. Oof, it's not looking good.
They don't have tips, bro.
I know they don't. They can't. The tips will never be touched if you're on Team Green.
Oh, man.
Yeah, good times. I've got to say, on the state by state thing, I the one thing I do really envy about, like, from Canada to the US is that you guys have that, you know, as much power as the federal government is taking, you have much more power on a state by state level, and the ability to freely move and vote with your feet and go to where you're treated best within your own country is one that we don't exactly have here. Now, I will say that Alberta's doing a good job of pushing against that. And, you know, our premier here, Danielle Smith, is indeed a Bitcoiner and is an advocate of, you know, individual choices and pushing back against kind of the federal government, but we don't have those types of powers here on a province by province basis. So we'll see how that progresses here. I'm hopeful of, like, anywhere in Canada that, you know, this would be the province to say, nah. And I would love to see something out of Danielle Smith that says, like, hey, if there's a CBDC coming down the pipe, like, not here.
Yeah. 100%. So let me ask you something. Have you met this person? Have you met the premier?
She used to have a radio show and she had me on 3 times to talk about Bitcoin.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you're like a local legend.
Well, hopefully she remembers me. Although she will remember me because she had money in Quadriga and I kept on saying, get it off. You need a hardware wallet. And she learned a lesson the hard way, but, you know, ooh. I was given good advice. So, and she does know a bunch of the good Bitcoiners in and around Calgary. So yeah, I think she's got her head on her shoulders. Right.
Can I get your autograph?
Well, I'm going to get her to sign my chest.
Oh, man. All right. So moving on. So CZ and Binance in trouble. CFTC alleges world's biggest shitcoin casino shrieked rules. Case was filed in federal court in Chicago Monday. Let's go through some of the rules that he broke, or allegedly broke, better said. The CFTC alleged in federal court in Chicago that Binance and its CEO, who is known as CZ, routinely broke American derivatives rules as the firm grew to the world's largest trading platform. Binance should have registered with the agency years ago and continues to violate the CFTC rules, according to the regulator. Here is Joe Calasara. And he's a lawyer and he went through some of the things and he says, public service announcement, if you suffered a significant loss, significant losses trading on Binance or Binance.us or Binance, you might want to consult with an attorney now that we have learned of the CFTC's allegations that Binance and CZ were actively trading against their customers without disclosures. And there was a video, there's a Corey Shorty that he released about a week ago. Mm-hmm. Where he made the case. He said, look, Binance, you know, is fixing the books, right? And then this came out a week later, right? So apparently this was obvious for a long time, you know, and this is why Bitcoiners are always saying, don't shitcoin, it's bad for you, stick to Bitcoin. This doesn't surprise me whatsoever. Now, here's the thing, though. You know, Bitcoin and crypto, it's an international phenomenon, right? So Binance could just say, you know what, US, like, you know, have fun. Does the U.S. have jurisdiction if this is an international company? Like, what's the deal there? I think they're going to have a hard time, in my opinion.
I mean, I mean, it really depends. I think it's difficult in the way that, you know, they've kind of already, like, they've targeted U.S. citizens, clearly. Like, there was the whole, like, Signal thing where he was telling people, like, oh, we can't put anything in writing, but, you know, we can definitely get some U.S. customers on here trading and doing derivatives and all this other shit. There's all that stuff. So, like, you know, they're going to, like, they're obviously going after them, clearly, from the story. I don't know. Is how does CZ handle this? Like, what he seems to be trying to, like, handle this publicly and everything, but... I wonder if it devolves into a like Doquan kind of like in hiding situation and then eventually pinched somewhere, or like if it just goes through like the regular channels and then they try to find them. And like, I don't know, but like, I hope it's a big enough deal, and I hope it's it becomes a big enough deal that it will be difficult for anybody to defend CZ. Cause right now you see all over Twitter, all of these like Stockholm syndrome shitcoiners that are like, I see he put out a great statement about it, and this is why I trust CZ and why I'm still happy having all of my money on a centralized exchange. Dude, what the fuck are you doing? Get your money out now while you still can, you friggin' idiot. Like, like, how, after the past year of blow up after blow up after bullshit after, you know, virtue signaling asshole, all of them taking your money and being like, no, we're here for you. We actually just fucked with your money and we traded it here and we lost it here and it was levered to the tits and we spent it on homes in the Bahamas. How do you sit through a year of that and then still go, yeah, but I trust this guy because he's a good guy? What? Give your head a shake. Some people cannot learn other than through immense pain.
Bro, holy cow, man. That was one of the best BTC Sessions rants I've heard in a long time. That was amazing. Yeah, dude. Like, but I mean, but okay. To give these people the benefit of the doubt, Ben, I think we all went through that phase though, right?
Yeah.
We all went through that phase, that shit coining phase, right? Some were there longer than others, of course, right? But
I can get the shit coining, but I can't get the shit coining and then defaulting to a method of holding your wealth that is the antithesis for the reason of the creation of Bitcoin. Right. Like, I get the maybe there's something here in this coin. Like, you don't get Bitcoin yet. It's difficult to piece together everything that makes Bitcoin different and special. And it takes some time to arrive at that. And maybe you haven't been exposed to the right material that speaks to you. But to have come into this when the clear, like, every shitcoin says the same thing. Oh, decentralization, you know, reducing and eliminating trust and peer-to-peer. And you're like, yeah, but also fuck that. And this guy holds my money because he seems good. I don't understand. Help me understand.
Dude, it is. Oh, man. It is.
Yeah.
But this is what we do, Ben. This is why we're here, right? This is why we're here. This is why we're here. This is why we make content.
If you're that guy and you're in the live chat right now, which, by the way, hello to everybody in the live chat. But like, if you're that guy in the chat and I just kind of shat on your entire worldview, I'm sorry, but please, like, help me understand. Help me help you is what I'm saying. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. Yeah. Check out Ben's trailer. What is it called?
The witch?
No, dude, the training videos. What's the word for that? Yeah,
now I can't think of it. All the tutorial.
The tutorial. Yeah. Yes, there we go.
I think I do it for 7 years and I can remember the word of what it is.
Oh, man.
Ah, jeez. Okay. Well, you know, best of luck to everybody who still has funds in Binance, you know. Be careful.
He's guilty, bro. Look at him. Okay. Moving on to the next one. Okay, so this is a combination of things, right? So, you know, kind of more news, but more on the international front, right? So we checked out what's going on in the U.S., but internationally, there's this push, right? Tighter, you know, in this one specifically, G7, so like the biggest biggest economies in the world, pushing for tighter crypto regulations. It's almost as if they're taking advantage of this banking insecurity to justify their actions going after the crypto industry. It's almost like as if it's a scapegoat. How weird is that? Right. And then here is more AML, KYC type of restrictions and things. Right. So, and it's really interesting, right? This 1,000 euro limit. What are the consequences of that for wallet providers in Europe? Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for desktop, you're not going to have a problem, right? It's open source software. But if you have an iPhone, an iPhone has an app store and it's a closed garden, right? What do you like? And then, you know, it's this type of regulation passes in Europe. Is your Bitcoin wallet on your iPhone going to force you to KYC in order to send $1,000? I know it sounds absurd to many Bitcoiners, but it is a clear and present danger. Make no mistake.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know what the consequences of this will be. Here, I find this absolutely hilarious. Elizabeth Warren, this apparently is she's running a re-election on this message, right? Elizabeth Warren is building an anti-crypto army. Warren for Senate. I mean, I don't know what to think of that.
Somebody had a good take. They're like, running this as your campaign going into a halving.
Oh, Gladstein. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man. And then check this out. Check this out, Ben. This is spitting in your face and then slapping you. What really drives inflation, profits, or wages? When prices are high, workers request higher wages, so firms raise prices again, and so on. If this tit for tat approach continues, everyone will end up poor. Bro, bro, bro.
I love the sentiment where they're effectively being like, stop asking for more money or else you're going to be poor. We know shit's expensive. Stop complaining. Stop asking to be able to afford your bills or else you'll be poor. But I am poor. What? Like, it's such a, you know, like, it's not us, it's you, is basically what they're saying.
They're responsible. And they're saying, oh, it's because you peasants are asking for more money. Like, come on, Ben.
Yeah.
Their memetics are terrible. This is terrible memetics, bro.
I like how they start with when prices are high. It's like, okay, yeah, but what happened just before? Step back like one step. What happened right before the prices were high? Can you detail that step in the process for me? Because you're detailing the result, like all the steps after the thing that made prices high. You're like, well, something happened and then prices were high and then people requested higher wages and then firms raised prices because they have to pay higher wages and then so on and so forth. The tit for tat came from you. You printed money. The money is worth less. The people who have the money first get to purchase things, but then so much sloshes around that there's not additional goods and services available. There's more money. So that means that all of the money in circulation has to represent those goods and services. Naturally, it's going to be worth less stuff. The amount of stuff is the same and the amount of money is more.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you combat this? I have no idea. Yeah. Just keep making content, I guess.
The ratio, somebody in the chat, by the way, Ken says ECB got massively ratioed. They did. All of the reply tweets were fantastic.
Yep. No, they were great. I mean, and this is the power of Twitter, and this is why it's so important. Like, even if you don't have a big account, like, you know, whatever, just put your comment in there. Every tweet counts, right? I see someone in the chat talking about the Restrict Act. So, and it was the title of today's video. So let's talk about that. The Restrict Act. So what is the Restrict Act? The Restrict Act, again, just like they're using the banking insecurity to justify, you know, the seizure of Signature Bank, you know, the denial of Custodia, right? Oh, it was SBF. He's shitcoining. This is bad. They, you know, they're using that TikTok is a Chinese platform. Therefore, you know, we need to ban Bitcoin. But what's not mentioned in this bill is it's not just focused on TikTok. It's focused on a variety of things. You know, Matt O'Dell links this article basically calling it Patriot Act 2.0, right? So, and I love what it says here, right? Corrupt politicians will not protect us. They're part of the problem. We must build support and learn how to use censorship-resistant tools. excuse me.
In order to defend our natural rights. I got you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Hey, man, I missed your reading voice. Do you mind reading this?
Yeah, let's do it. Are you talking about the inline?
There we go. Boom.
Okay. All right. Here we go. The newly proposed Restrict Act is being advertised as a TikTok ban, but is much broader than that. Carries a $1 million fine and up to 20 years in prison. It is unconstitutional and would create massive legal restrictions on the open source movement and free speech throughout the internet. The bill was proposed by Senator Warren, of course, Senator Thune, Senator Baldwin, Senator Fisher, a whole bunch of senators is what we're getting at. It has broad support across both parties. Corrupt politicians will not protect us. They are part of the problem. We must build support and learn how to use censorship resistant tools in order to defend our natural rights.
Dude.
Yeah. Dude. Did you see, who is it? Lindsey Graham went on Fox News and got absolutely torn to shreds by one of the correspondents being like, he basically outlined that like, oh yeah, up to, you know, 200, 250K fine and 20 years in prison or $1 million fine for, you know, accessing a VPN to see something that's restricted in your country. And Lindsey Graham literally didn't know if it was the same bill. He was like, is that the Restrict Act? No, I think there was another one. He's like, no, I've got it right here. You are listed as one of the major supporters. And he was like, oh, well, let me get back to you on that. I gotta like, he's like, that doesn't sound like something I would support. You didn't read it, dipshit. You did not read it. Nobody reads anything that goes through.
Dude, it's the fucking uniparty. It's the fucking state like trying to protect itself. I think they see the writing on the wall. And you know what the smoking gun is? Who's the first in that bill? Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Right? So this is nuts, dude. It is so crazy to me, Ben, that they're going this far. I mean, in hindsight, it's not crazy, right? But it still surprises me.
By the way, said it was on Jesse Waters last night. Wow. That's where Lindsey Graham was on.
Probably golden.
Yeah.
They're going this far to make sure that people use money that steals from them. Yeah. Right? And that is fucking nuts to me, dude.
Yeah.
All right. You want to end it with the Pierre Richard video?
Yeah.
So this is, I'll give a headline for anyone like just tuning in. So it says Texas bill seeks to eliminate incentives for Bitcoin miners. Our own Pierre Richard, fellow Bitcoiner, had something to say about that.
Let's see it, Harold.
My name is Pierre Richard. I'm the vice president of research at Riot Platforms, the largest publicly traded Bitcoin miner in the United States, with our facility in Milam County, close to Rockdale. I'm a first-generation immigrant, and I graduated from the University of Texas in Austin with a bachelor and master accounting degree. Thank you, Senator Kolkhorst, for your work on demand response issues. I believe that the witnesses here have adequately represented our views on demand response. I would just add that there is already a 60% limit to prevent concentration in demand response programs, and that this bill would override ERCOT's long-term study on large flexible loads. With regards to Chapter 312 temporary county tax abatements, these abatements have helped attract Bitcoin miners to Texas, and they've created hundreds of rural jobs. Bitcoin miners are the number one employer in Rockdale. Bitcoin miners are also the number one taxpayer to Rockdale ISD. Bitcoin mining is good for rural education. Milam County has record sales tax revenue thanks to Bitcoin miners. Even if you are skeptical of Bitcoin, these abatements have been highly effective at revitalizing rural communities. It is also in our national security interest to mine more Bitcoin here in the United States and take market share away from foreign adversaries like Russia and China. We should not add unnecessary regulatory burdens or raise taxes on this strategic and innovative industry. For these reasons, I recommend to vote against SB 1751. Bitcoin is freedom money. It empowers people so that they can earn, save, and spend their money without relying on or trusting government central banks. Thank you.
Mr. Richard, any questions?
I have one quick.
Ooh, I like that one. Oh, you're muted, buddy. You're muted. You look so excited, too.
Pierre Richard, 2030 for president. All right. I'm saying it right now.
I love that he threw in the like the national security and the like freedom money. Like, I love that he threw that in there. I don't know. Again, he's dealing with normies that are setting legislation. I don't know that they're going to. I mean, maybe like freedom money, Texas, that might go well, but like, yeah, I don't know. Well, we shall see, but you know, I think he's a good guy to have up there.
I'm glad he's on our side. That's for sure.
Yeah. 100%. Dude. Thank you for coming in and filling us in. I'm looking forward. Miami's coming down the pipe soon. I think we're like less than 50 days out now, like 49 or 48 days out. And yeah, we're going to be having fun and stacking sats and touching tips and doing all kinds of stuff. Lisa is my wife is prepping the hair dye. She's like, do I need to bring like my hairdressing stuff? I was like, yes, as a matter of fact, you do. Mm-hmm. I had to remind her today. She's like, okay. All right, I'm ready for it. It will happen. Should be a good time. I feel like the people that have been the biggest supporters of hashtag Benico should be invited to at least be there for the touching of the tips. But then we'll have to put together a good video of it afterwards too.
I completely agree. There needs to be a ceremony.
Yeah, we need somebody to officiate it, really. So if you guys know like a pastor that might officiate the touching of the tips, you may now touch the tips. We'd love to have that.
Yellow?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. Who, like, do we both hold bouquets? Like, how do we do this? We've got to exchange something too. We've got to like, can I put a ring on your finger?
Oh man, there's gonna be fireworks. I'm really excited to touch tips with you in sunny Miami,
dude. It's gonna be a blast. I can't wait. Shall we do this again next week?
Absolutely, guys. This was your Simply Sessions. I love doing that.
Later, man. I'll see you.
Peace,
soon.
Bro.
All right, everybody. A few more things we have before we sign out here that I wanted to bring to your attention. Let me pull up my screen here. Here we go. Okay. So Nunchuck just announced they've got some updates to their inheritance planning multi-sig thing. So before it was just, if you're familiar with the Nunchuck Honey Badger inheritance planning thing, it used to be you delegate it to a single recipient, but now you can have multiple beneficiaries. So you can basically have three separate segregated sets of funds, all part of the multisig, that then are sent to the individuals in question. You can also add more to that. And it's like, I think like $10 per additional beneficiary on a single plan, which is fantastic. So anyways, kudos to Nunchuck. They keep on improving what they got there. Start 9, by the way, I just made a video last week on how to set up Bitwarden. So Bitwarden is hosting your own password manager. And so I did a video on how to set it up and everything. I showed how to access it via mobile on Android only, because iOS, you couldn't do it. You had no way of allowing Tor to utilize Vault Warden. Well, now it does work. So if you're on iOS, just know that the latest Vault Warden enables HTTPS for .onions. So that means you can now connect your iOS Bitwarden app to your Vault Warden server over Tor. So if you were on that and disappointed that you couldn't do no mobile last week, well, there you go. Now you can. Awesome. Just follow the same steps in my video. Up next. Oh, I'm so excited. I have been plugging away at my S9 Bitcoin mining space heater. It's actually behind me right over here. And I don't have it plugged in right now because it's very quiet, but like there'd be enough that you'd be hearing the hum the entire time. And I didn't want to distract Nico too much. Also, it's not too hot or it's not too cold in here right now, but it's awesome. It's so quiet. It's put together. All I'm waiting on is I've just got to get a little plug-in for the Wi-Fi for it so that I can move it and have it be mobile through the house anywhere. And then I'll put together the last piece and the video should be out in the next few days here. So if you're looking at building your own mining rig / space heater so that you get reimbursed for part of your electricity costs of using a space heater, it's coming. It's coming. And thanks. Shout out to Crypto Cloaks for sending that over. And well, not the miner's mine, but for the 3D print case and for the guide that they put together as Rick figured out all of the intricacies of how to set this up and make it quiet and fine tune it. What an absolute legend. And then I also want to give a shout out to Joe Hall, aka Joe Nakamoto on Twitter. He put together with Cointelegraph this awesome video. And if you're listening only right now, the tweet here says, Bitcoin mining is a force for positive change. Check this example of how Farmer Tom harnesses the power of a decentralized protocol, cows and Bitcoin. Please watch, retweet, and share with your mom, dad, friends, and gran. And the video is how Irish farmers are turning cow poop into digital money. So anyways, it's on YouTube. Highly recommend. Awesome video about how people are just integrating Bitcoin into their regular lifestyles and like using waste to be repaid, which is fantastic. Tomorrow, why are we bullish? Very excited. Island Osorio, Eric Yakes, author of The Seventh Property, which is an excellent book. And we've got Justin Orkney as well. It's going to be a blast. Join us. It's going to be a good time. 6 p.m. Eastern time on Friday, the 31st of March. Don't miss it. Should be a good time. Bitcoin Miami, me and Nico talking about it a ton. Very excited. It's coming down the pipe May 18th through 20th in Miami Beach, Florida. And you know what? I'm going to change that. May 17th through 20th in Miami Beach, Florida, because I'm doing my workshop the day before. Anyways, 150 speakers, 15,000 attendees, 2,000 companies. This is my fourth time attending. It is a barrage on the senses. There's so much going on all the time. So many Bitcoiners to talk to. My tips, if you're down there, if you get in conversations with shitcoiners that are going nowhere, your time is precious. So just, you know, politely or impolitely, if you really deem fit, exit the conversation and use your time to get the most out of everything there. You know, link up with other Bitcoiners, sit down, you know, have good conversations, you know, pick the things that you would love to see, at least see a few things on stage. Hit up the trade floor. There's so much stuff going on there. And like hit some of the workshop hands-on kind of stuff too that's happening in terms of the open source stage has some tables and everything, and you can play around with a lot of great stuff. Check it all out. It's a lot of fun. And as I said, I will be there on the 17th. That is May 17th, the Wednesday from 1 to 5 p.m. We're doing a cold card workshop. It is a deep dive. It starts from very beginning, just getting started, all the basics, and then goes into the advanced stuff that you can do with your cold card as well. And you're basically going from zero to hero in an afternoon. You will walk out of that place being a better cold card expert than I'd say most people on the globe. So yeah, if you want to check that out, head to btcsessions.ca. And there's a few tickets left and you can grab them there, but do it quick because you're running out of time. And the venue, I have a tentative venue, but if additional tickets sell, I'll book a bigger one. But that time frame is closing. And then so if I don't have X number of tickets by then, I'm going to cut it off at a certain number. And that's kind of it. And I'm locked into that. In terms of getting to the conference, b.tc/conference, you can use code BTC sessions and you'll get 10% off your tickets. The tickets go up in price at regular intervals, like $50 every single time. So if you're unsure, if you're like, I could probably make it down, but I'm not 100% sure, better to grab a ticket now and then resell it later because it will be more expensive later anyways. That's what I did previously where I bought a ticket. I had an extra one and I was able to resell it like the week of the conference because people were looking for them. So anyways, be sure to see me there. I will be there. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait. And yeah, if you're looking for tickets to the workshop, btcsessions.ca, it's over on the right under in-person workshops, right beside where you can book private sessions. And with that, we're all done here. We're out. So thank you guys for watching. Like, sub, share, all those things help a ton. Give it a retweet, share it on Nostr, whatever you may be doing. And of course, if you can, hit up the previously mentioned sponsors down below, HODL HODL, CoinKite, Nunchuck, Start9. You can also check out the show tickets. And if you really liked what you saw, you can drop me a Bitcoin tip at my Strike page, strike.me/BTC sessions. You don't need Strike to use it. Just head there, type in any amount you want, hit the tip button. You'll be greeted with a Lightning invoice, or if you tap to the right, a regular Bitcoin QR code. With that, I'm out. Have yourselves a wonderful day or evening, wherever you may be. See you guys next time for your daily session.
We have BTC sessions. Bitcoin is FU money. You can't stop it. Get yourself some Bitcoin and hold it yourself. Peer-to-peer exchange. You know, people are going to organically come to it and gravitate towards it, especially in the world we're living in now. It's incredible. It's a great tool, and I can't wait to see it proliferate everywhere.
HODL the Bitcoin.